faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray, gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
Your Thanksgiving dinner. But it's right for you to go to Ed's family, Susan. Come to us Christmas.
We didn't go to Ed's family.
Where did you go?
Well, the fog was too heavy. Ed doesn't like to drive in the fog. We went bowling.
Where did you have your dinner?
We didn't think much about dinner. We all ate together at the bowl.
Oh, I see.
Now, Mom, don't get that look. Thanksgiving isn't all so big.
But you were only a few miles from us.
We were having a good time. Isn't that what a holiday is for? Anyhow, you had company, I heard. Why didn't you tell me Kate Wakefield was here?
You'd come over. You'd have seen her.
How is she?
Thinner than she used to be and prettier. And how did you hear about her?
I just met Joey. He told me.
Joey?
He was on his way up from Hank's boatyard. He just called to me. In this wind, I didn't stop and talk.
What was he doing in Hank's boatyard? Was Kate with him?
If she had been with him, I'd seen her.
Oh, that's funny. Now, Kate went over to Gull Island early this morning, and Joey went with her. So he wouldn't leave her over there alone.
I wouldn't want to stay over there alone.
Now, what do you know about it?
Just what people say. It's haunted.
Oh, Hannah, now don't be silly.
You should hear the stories. Somebody's seen a light over there. Somebody else has seen a boat in the cove. But when anybody gets there, it's deserted.
Now, your father's been taking care of a cottage on that island, and if anybody was hanging around who oughtn't to be, he'd know it. Now, just the same, I'm going to call Hank.
What's he got to do with it?
Why, Kate rented a boat from him.
Maybe she wants to stay over there.
With the wind rising and maybe no way of getting back?
Well, maybe she just wants to stay there and think about Tom.
No, she can think about him just as well here.
Tom Wakefield was the most beautiful man I ever saw. I used to...
Hank? Was that you, Hank? Now, Hannah tells me Joey got back with the boat. He did? Well, he had no call to do that.
Well.
Well, thank you, Hank. Now, what do you think of that?
What?
Well, Kate sent Joey back with the boat, and she told him she wanted to be alone there for a few hours.
So what? When Tom was alive, she stayed there often enough. And alone sometimes, too.
Oh, that was different.
Why?
Oh, Hannah, you do plague me with foolish questions. Oh, dear, listen to that wind. It's making the water look mean.
Where's Dad?
He's gone up to Rockville.
Well, when he comes back, he can go over and get her.
Goodness knows when that'll be.
Mom, sometimes I think you like to worry.
Maybe if you'd done a little more of it.
Don't begin on that.
No. No, you're married and it's done. But don't talk to me about worrying. I've lived near the sea too long not to know how it can turn on you.
Kate knows that, too. Maybe she wants to be there.
Alone?
Being alone isn't the worst thing in the world, Mom.
Oh, you're as contrary as your father.
I envy her.
Well, now that's a pity, because you don't know what her real troubles were.
Maybe I do.
Oh, now that'll be your father now. Oh, dear, I'm going to stop him before he takes off again.
Oh, I'll go along.
No, 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 you just wait a minute. We'll have a cup of coffee, you and I, while your father goes over and fetches Kate.
Have a heart, Mom. That's a real storm coming up.
Now, your father's the only man I'd ask to do it. Ben! That's you!
Close the door, Kate. The not much chance the kid will come back for you now.
Then Ben Wheeler will. The storm hasn't gotten here yet.
Are you afraid?
No. I know the sea.
Not of the storm, of me.
No.
I'm sorry if you are. There was no way I could have warned you.
I should have guessed.
Not that a stranger was living in your cottage?
No, that something was wrong. Ben Wheeler didn't want to bring me over to the island.
I paid him to keep my little secret.
You mean Ben took money for that?
Not much, but regularly. That's important to a fisherman in times like these.
If you needed the cottage, and you're a friend of Tom's, Michael, that is your name.
It'll do, won't it?
Why didn't you write to me?
Ask Tom's widow for a favor?
No, just to tell me you were here. It's all right, really.
Yeah, that's what I thought you'd say. You wouldn't mind. Look, I don't want anything from you, Kate, or anybody else. Tom owed me a lot, so after he died...
What did he owe you for?
Well, we'll get to that. Tom was a man who never worried about his debts. So, after he went, I came to Gull Island. It had what I wanted, solitude. For a small amount of money, I could keep everybody out. People. Staring, asking questions. I hate people.
How long have you been here?
Forget. Winter, summer, winter, the gull's nest, the blueberries come. I don't keep much track of time.
I know, it's like that on the island. I do remember you, Michael.
I was at your wedding. Though you wouldn't know that. All you saw was Tom. I was in the Caribbean when you and Tom were there.
I remember seeing you once or twice.
I was on shore. Tom sailed the boat. We worked together.
At what?
At making a little money. It mattered then. It doesn't matter now. Don't look at me like that. I'm not the man you remember. I'm a shell of that man. Why did you come back here, Kate?
I wanted to look at old papers and sailing charts Tom may have left here.
What for?
To see if there was anything I'd like to keep.
They're mine, you know.
I only want what's Tom's.
I made out those charts. I told him where to go when.
To do what?
Business, Kate. If I remember the word. Come back from the door, Kate.
I'd rather go out and watch for Joey or Ben.
Close that door. All right, never mind, I will. You don't like me, do you?
I don't know you, Michael.
I'm not going to hurt you, you know.
No, of course not.
I don't hurt people. I don't hurt anything. I'm tired. I've been alone such a long time.
Too long, Michael.
Long, long time ago when I felt alone, I had dreams. They'd run through my veins like fire. Fill my head until it blew up like a balloon with lights and colors, all kinds of lights and colors. I could see the world like a little dot way down there. And I could pick up on the point of a pin. And the balloon would burst and I'd lie in a little black and rotting box alone. Tom told you how it was, didn't he?
Is that why you're here, Michael? To take those drugs until you kill yourself? Like Tom?
Not like Tom. I couldn't die. I'm the walking dead, Kate. You can go outdoors now if you want. And listen. Nobody will come here now.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. O-Cedar Angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
O-Cedar makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound.
O-Cedar makes your life easier.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, oh, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night. And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. The Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Final Net. Gives your hair a great, long-lasting hold.
Greetings and salutations, dear listeners. I am your servant, William Makepeace Thackeray, author of this unfolding chronicle. Let us today unfold a little of the past. To achieve this, off we must take Becky to Amelia Sedley's house in Russell Square. The two dear friends have been chirping like thrushes in a lilac bush for half an hour and no end in sight.
Emmy, dear, I was horrid to you about George before I went to Queen's Crawley.
You were?
I said I didn't see how you could love him.
I knew you didn't mean it.
I did mean it. Then. Now I understand.
Oh, Becky, I'm so pleased you know at last there never in the wide world was so wonderful a man as George.
I didn't quite say that. I'm saying I understand about love because now I love.
And you think never in the wide world was so wonderful a man as Rawdon.
Oh, I do think it, even when I know it isn't true.
But that's what love does to us. George doesn't come to me as often as I'd like and makes excuses I don't quite believe. But I love him all the same.
Rawdon isn't clever nor quick, nor the kind of man I ever meant to marry, but I love him all the same.
Oh, I am glad.
Oh, I'm not. But there it is, and I'd not change it.
You do say such strange things, Beck. They don't sometimes fit together.
No, they don't. Emmy, why doesn't George come here as often as you'd like?
I don't know why. Sometimes I fear because he doesn't love me as I love him, but I won't think of that. Only today he's coming soon. Do you mind?
No. I shall try to like George now, though he doesn't and won't like me.
He does. It's as I told Papa. He only doesn't know he does. Becky, you wrote I wasn't to tell him you love Captain Crawley. I didn't. But now?
Now he can know. Nothing he says to Rawdon can harm me, but it might harm George. Let him say a word against me, and Rawdon will challenge him to a duel. Pistols, swords, slings, no matter, Rawdon will win. Already he's fought 4 duels and won.
You're joking.
Oh, I'm not. And you'd best warn Lieutenant George Osborne.
But when Lieutenant George Osborne arrives, he is agreeable enough to Becky and Becky to George. The fact is, the lieutenant is in fine humor, for he brings news that pleases him.
Emmy, Dobbin is in London.
George!
Shipped off this morning. I asked him round to meet you. On his way now.
Who is Dobbin that makes everyone smile?
George's dearest friend. My love,
tell Becky about you and him and school.
Oh, you've heard it more than once, Emmy. Bore you. You can tell Miss Becky another time.
Oh, I like hearing it. I do. Such a dear, nice story. Becky, they were little boys together in boarding school.
Ah, do tell it me, Lieutenant.
Well, then, saved my life, Dobbin did, in a manner of speaking. Though we weren't even friends, not then. My father was a gentleman. Dobbin's papa, a grocer, had to pay for Dobbs' schooling with goods, not money.
Fancy that, Beck. Instead of pounds sterling, pounds of tea and candles and sugar and soap and plums. Oh, excuse me for interrupting, George.
Well, no matter. Miss Becky, expect you know in boarding schools, torture and torment amongst pupils is as licensed as reading and writing.
I do know and deplore it. Dreadful, it's hateful.
Dear Emmy, your children will so do and be done by.
Our children. And we must stop it, or send them to school in France, or... Oh, I can't bear to think on it, our little ones so far away.
We're not even married yet. Don't think on it till you have to.
I'll try not, dearest. Go on about Dobbin.
Well, the greatest bully in school was a young tyrant named Cuff. Ruled over us like a king. I was a little chap, and one day didn't black his boots to suit. Knocked me down, booted me, would have had my teeth out and head broke but for Dobbin. Oh, he put his left into Cuff's nose and gave him the thrashing of his life. Friends ever since.
Oh, it is. It is a nice story. Thank you for telling me. Now Captain Dobbin's back from the West Indies.
Not a finer fellow in the service, nor a better officer. But I warn you, not much to look at, and awkward as an elephant. And he's suffering a beastly cold from his sea voyage.
I don't care how he looks or sounds. He was little George Osborne's champion, and I shall like him ever so much.
Told him all about you, Emmy. Approved so far, but take care. Got to pass muster in person. If Dobbin says Osborne is not for you... We're finished.
George.
Emmy, he's teasing.
Oh, but Becky, he'll look at you and I'll see nothing at all.
Fiddlesticks.
Fiddlesticks, indeed. Ah, enter Captain William Dobbin of His Majesty's Six.
Nothing remarkable about George's schoolboy memory. Ha-ha, but there is. George was then and is now a snob, merciless in his judgment of a man's station in society. But he has never forgot his gratitude to the grocer's son. At school, he showed his thanks by forcing the sons of gentlemen to accept young Dobbin instead of having their jeers and jokes at his expense. Dobbin, in gratitude to the little Osborne's benevolence, was George's valet. His dog, his man Friday, believing him to be the possessor of every virtue, and believes it still. In a moment, we shall meet Captain William Dobbin.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
Captain William Dobbin, a tall, shy, ungainly gentleman, large hands, large feet, large ears, enters, advances to meet two young ladies, making one of the clumsiest bows ever performed. And when he hears a certain sweet voice, it goes straight to his heart and nestles there.
Ladies, your servant.
Oh, Captain Dobbin, I've wanted so long to meet you.
I haven't, Captain Dobbin. Becky, what a thing to say.
But I only heard of him 5 minutes ago. For 5 minutes, Captain, I've wanted to meet you very much.
I say, I don't know what to say. Well, shall I ring for tea, Emmy, and break Dobbin's ice?
What a thing for you to say, George. Yes, ring, please.
Captain, I've just heard how you saved George's life.
No, not that old story, George. And Miss Amelia, want to congratulate you upon your engagement to this bounder.
Thank you, sir. Only, please, George is not a bounder. Pray, don't say it even in jest.
You see, old man, she don't know me. No, she don't. I'll see he treats you well, Miss Amelia, or he'll hear from me. Thrash young Cuff back in the academy. can thrash George right here.
By Jove, now he's your champion, Emmy, not mine.
Don't tease, George. You know it makes me blush.
Captain, do tell us about the West Indies.
No, mosquitoes, the palm trees, heat, rain. Miss Amelia, rather you told me about London. I've been too long away.
We'll do better than that. Go out and have a look tonight. Music hall, royal gardens, that sort of thing. What do you think of Emmy, old chap? Exaggerate, did I?
Exaggerate? Didn't say enough by half. What a flowering little creature she is. And what a prize a rogue like you has got.
Ice, did I say? Never heard a speech like that from Dobbin in my life. Enough. Is your father home, Emmy? Like him to meet this bold fellow?
He's in the library.
Come along, Dob. Back in time for tea, Emmy.
Oh, Becky, how nice Captain Dobbin is.
And you have made a conquest.
With you here? Oh, no.
Oh, yes. He never looked at me, never spoke to me. Miss Amelia this, Miss Amelia that. And what a flowering little creature is Miss Amelia. One can hardly say he turned my head with compliments.
No, he was shy with you, that's all.
I was a cipher to the Captain, Emmy.
Becky, don't be cross.
Cross? Over anything so trifling, I'm not, I'm glad. He will take care of you, dear Emmy, and you very well may need it, I fear, with Lieutenant George Osborne.
Yes, 'twas Amelia's sweet voice that nestled in Dobbin's heart. Are you surprised that Becky was in truth a cipher? Oh, well, do her good. I've quite spoiled her. Tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, I am ever and anon your servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Finalnet sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Finalnet is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Finalnet go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Finalnet, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Hi, I'm trimming my little girl's hair. Mine was the same beautiful chestnut color once, before the grays started sneaking in. But I discovered Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It covered my grays without changing my natural color, and it has no peroxide. Loving Care made my hair shinier and softer, too. Our hair looks almost alike now, except mine has no bubble gum in it.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Is dramatized by Nancy Moore and features Dolores Sutton as Becky Sharp. Catherine Balfour portrays Miss Crawley. And your host for Author Studio is Earl Hammond as William Makepeace Thackeray. Sound effects by Bob Prescott. This program is produced and directed by Frank Papp and brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. Ralph Camargo speaking. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the little things in life. Brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant relief possible.
Telephone!
Yes, I'm getting it. Hello?
Mrs. Baxter?
Yes?
Mrs. Robert Baxter?
Yes.
Hello, honey.
One moment, sir. Mrs. Baxter.
Yes?
Mr. Robert Baxter's calling from Washington, D.C. Will you accept the charges?
Hello, dear.
Hello, honey.
One moment, please. Will you accept the charges?
Yes.
Very well. Now, you may go ahead, sir.
Thank you.
Line.
Boy, I tell you, what a production to make one phone call. You wonder what gets into these operators.
I know. How are you, dear?
Fine. How are you?
Fine.
Aunt Maggie?
She's fine.
Debbie?
Yes, Debbie's fine. She got an A-plus in her history test.
Oh, that's great. Give her my congratulations.
Yes, I will, darling. How'd your business meeting go?
What?
How did your business meeting go?
I can't hear you too well. Can you hear me?
Yes, clear as a bell.
I said, can you hear me?
Yes, very well. It's just as though you were in the next room.
Who?
What?
Who is?
Who is what?
Well, you said somebody was there with you.
No. I said I could hear you as clearly... Forget it.
What?
Forget it.
Forget what?
Honey, let it go. Tell me something.
I don't know what you're talking about. Your voice keeps fading in and out.
Get the operator.
No. I just called you to tell you when I'm coming home.
Oh, good. When?
Hello?
Hello,
Peg. Are you there?
Yes, for heaven's sake. This is such a terrible connection. Why don't I hang up and you get the operator and call me back?
Oh, I hear you fine now. Your voice keeps fading in and out.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, fine.
Oh, good. We're having the best time here at home. Aunt Maggie and I are making Christmas cookies. And Evie and Fred are coming over after dinner and help. And Miss Perkins said she and her fiancé just might go out for a drive tonight. And if so, they'll stop in. She said I told her to. I said, drop in and have some coffee and Christmas cookies. And she laughed. You know the way she does. And she said, oh, yes, they probably would. Hello?
Operator?
No. I'm not the operator, Bob. Listen.
Operator, I seem to have lost my party. I think I've been disconnected.
Bob, we're not disconnected. I can hear... Oh, and the rates are going up, too. Listen, hello?
Hello? Peg?
Yes.
Honey, is that you?
Yes. Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
fine. Now, we got disconnected there for a minute.
No, we didn't. I can hear you very well. You just couldn't hear me. Did you hear anything I told you about baking Christmas cookies and Evie and Fred are coming over and maybe Miss Perkins? Maybe. And her fiancé.
Hey, you faded out again. What was that about Miss Perkins?
They're coming over tonight, maybe.
Miss Perkins?
Yes.
Having a baby?
Oh, no. Will you please get the operator, Bob? I've had enough of this nonsense.
Right. Now I can hear you again. What's all this about Miss Perkins, for Pete's sake?
I didn't say she was having a baby. Nothing about a baby. I said she and her fiancé might drop over tonight. Maybe. Can you hear me?
No, not too well. You fade in and out. I'm sorry, honey. I just don't get all this baby, maybe business.
This is ridiculous. When are you coming home? I can hear you.
I am coming home tonight. Get there about 8 o'clock.
I heard you. Fine. We'll be expecting you, dear.
Hello?
Goodbye, dear. I'm hanging up.
Hello?
Oh, really? Now he'll probably call me back thinking I didn't hear him. Did you hear all that nonsense, Aunt Maggie?
Well, I heard your end of it. When's he getting home?
Well, about 8 o'clock tonight.
Oh.
I certainly hope he called my friend Lorraine Inman and said hello for me, but he hates to call friends. Oh, so, you know.
I smell the cookies.
Oh.
Must be ready to come home.
Oh, well, we better get the last batch. Uh-huh. I knew it. Hello, Bob.
Hi, dear. We got disconnected.
Yeah, I'm Miss Baxter.
Oh, yes.
I've got her, operator. It's all right.
Yes, Mrs. Robert Baxter.
Yes.
Mr. Baxter's on the phone from Washington.
Yes, I know. I've already talked.
You were disconnected, apparently. I will make a note of this, and you will not be charged for the extra time.
Thank you, operator. Hello, dear. Bob?
Mr. Baxter? One moment, please, madam.
Oh. Hello?
There you go. Go ahead.
Hi, dear. What's going on?
What's going on?
No, I've no idea. Can you hear me now?
Oh, yeah, fine. I'll be home about 8 o'clock tonight.
Yes, I heard that before, dear. I can hear you all right, you know. Did you call Lorraine Inman and just say hello? I know you hate to do that, honey, but... Hello? Bob?
Hello?
Oh.
Dear, you faded out again. I can't hear you.
You didn't call, Lorraine, did you? I'll talk to you when you get home tonight when I know you can hear me.
Operator, I think I've been disconnected again.
I'll see you tonight, dear. 8 o'clock. Good to have you home, dear. I missed you. Come on out in the kitchen, Aunt Maggie. I've been making Christmas cookies all day.
Oh, boy, the house smells so good.
Didn't you understand anything I said at all on the phone?
No, not very much. I don't know what you were telling me about Miss Perkins.
I was saying that maybe. Maybe she and her fiancé, she always puts it, might drop by tonight, too.
Two?
Well, Evie and Fred are already here. Evie's helping Aunt Maggie with the sand tarts. They have to be pressed into molds before you bake them. You know, come on. Mm. Hey, look who came home.
Everybody glad to see me? Well, Aunt Maggie, you haven't baked all these today.
Oh, this is just part of what I baked today. I've got a lot already put away in tins, so they stay fresh. No, no, Evie, you're using too much dough.
Oh, I don't think making cookies is one of my talents. Oh.
Are you helping to make cookies too, Fred?
I'm just eating them.
Well, help yourself, Bob.
May I have one of each? Mm-hmm. What are they?
Well, these are sand tarts. These are the black walnut crescents. These are almond spritz. Then these cones are Norwegian krumkaker. And these are Fatima's.
Each one is better than the last, so forget your diet.
Now, you did not call my friend Lorraine, did you? All I asked you to do was just say hello.
Wow, Aunt Maggie, these cookies.
Well, they're not quite as good as usual. I'm not used to the oven. It's different from mine at home.
I know you hate to call people you don't know, Bob, but I know Lorraine would have been so appreciative.
I called her. I even asked her out to dinner.
Oh, why, honey... Thank you. Oh, that's nice. Poor Lorraine, I'm sure she loved it. What did she say when you called and what did you say?
Well, I told her who I was, that my business meeting was over, and could I take her out to dinner? And she said, you're Peg's husband and you're in town all alone? And then she said, you jump in a cab and get over to my place. I'm having a dinner party.
Oh. Well, that was nice of her. I haven't seen her since college, Evie. You know, we just exchanged Christmas cards, but
she's a knockout. You didn't tell me that.
Lorraine? Well, she was... fairly attractive. I don't think I'd call her a knockout.
Well, I would. Stunning. And she has this magnificent house in the Georgetown area, a townhouse that's fantastic. And she dresses like a million, which is about what she inherited from her husband, I guess. And what a party. Buffet supper, I guess, is what it was. Table laden with mountains of food a mile long.
What do you mean Lorraine is a knockout?
Well, she is.
Must have been rather dull for you, though, to go to a party where you didn't know anybody.
Well, I knew them by sight, sweetheart. Oh, and honey. Lorraine just tucked me under her arm and introduced me to everyone. Ambassadors, senators. Hello, Ted, she'd say. I want you to meet Bob Baxter.
Ted? You mean Ted Kennedy?
And then she'd lead me over to meet somebody else. Henry, darling, she'd say, right in the middle of his talking to somebody about the Arabs and the oil situation. Henry, darling, meet Bob Baxter.
Henry Kissinger?
I don't know what you mean by poor Lorraine. She knows everyone. Celebrities were a dime a dozen. Ballet dancers, singers, movie stars. Oh, I had quite a talk with some movie guy at Redford.
No kidding. Robert Redford was there?
Well, wasn't Barbara Walters there? She never seems to sleep.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time in Washington.
I got you to thank for it, honey. I had one of the greatest evenings I've ever had in my life. Oh, Lorraine sent her love to you.
Fine.
We didn't get much chance to talk, but I've got to go back to Washington in a couple of weeks, and then I'm taking her out to dinner, and then I'll probably have more news for you. Lorraine said she'd bring me up to date on her personal life, so I can tell you about what she's been doing, you know, when I get back.
Fine.
Hey, it's time for the hockey game. Come on, Fred, let's get the TV turned on.
Yeah, right. Boy, tell me more about this Lorraine, and what'd you talk to Robert Redford about, huh?
Honey, will you bring us in some coffee and some more cookies?
I think I'll take in something besides a cookie.
Well, it's none of my business, dear. But if I were you, I don't think I'd ask him to call up your old girlfriends after this.
No. Mm-hmm. No.
I think he made it all up. Don't you?
Mm-mm. I don't know. Yes, I think so. He was just a little too cute about the whole thing, knowing Bob, right?
Right. just to say, you made a mistake asking him to call her.
I know. Never again.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oceder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oceder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oceder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound. Oceder makes your life easier.
The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by the Oceder Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
That was a magnificent dinner.
Thank you, dear. Oh, do you think we could have another log on the fire?
Oh, yes, we could. And we will if I can just find a log I can lift.
Why don't you ring for Edith, dear?
Oh, no. The exercise is good for me. Ah, there's a young one.
I wonder how Jason and Emily are enjoying their Thanksgiving dinner.
Well, a log cabin holiday in the winter is not my idea of pleasure.
Well, the children are bound to enjoy it.
Caroline, I've reached the age when I consider my own comfort first.
Yes, dear.
This catering to youth is absolutely ridiculous.
Darling, you're full of hot air.
And if I had to... What?
When Jennifer wanted to see the new baby gorilla at the Lincoln Zoo, you canceled 4 appointments and spent the entire afternoon at the zoo with her.
Oh, that. Well, I wanted to see it, too.
Yes, of course.
And besides, being with young people keeps me young.
Mm-hmm. Is that why you want Lynn to stay on here, even though she's married?
Well, I don't see any evidence of Kurt's wanting to move out.
A good deal of the time, you see what you want to see, Robert.
Now, Caroline, you're interfering with my peaceful digestion of an elegant dinner.
Oh, indeed it was, Caroline. Very much so.
Oh, thank you, Helen. Were you able to reach your husband?
Yes, finally, at the clinic. And he asked me to extend his thanks to you.
Well, that's very kind of him, but I fail to see why he should...
Well, for your gracious hospitality over the holiday. I was hardly an expected guest.
Well, we're delighted to have you.
You know what? I'd like to take a stroll about the garden.
Oh.
Would you, ladies, like to join me?
No, not for me, dear. Oh, put a jacket on.
Oh.
I like the fire too much. Well, quite a treat to see where Jason spent his time as a boy.
Oh, he didn't, Helen.
But you said at dinner that River Run had been in your family for years?
Oh, yes, but Robert and I have been married for only 10 years.
Oh, I see. Then Jason and Lynn...
Lynn is Robert's daughter, and Anne is mine.
Oh, well, Jason missed a lot. This is a lovely place.
Well, I think he had a happy childhood. Robert's first wife was a remarkable woman.
I'm sure she must have been. Jason and Lynn are evidence of that.
And Robert, too. No, first wives do the spade work, and the second wives come along to enjoy the results.
That's an interesting thought.
When do you think you'll be finished here?
Well, that depends on the progress those burn cases are making.
Uh-huh. You do know that Emily is not very well.
Yes, Jason told me.
Considering the situation, I think it was most generous of her.
I certainly agree with you, Caroline. I didn't want to stay with them, but, well, they both made refusal difficult.
Yes, I can understand that. Particularly after you'd taken Jason in while he was in Brixton. And, of course, since you knew Jason from your Army days in the Medical Corps.
Yes, Jason and Paul and I were all good friends.
Yes, so I understand.
Caroline, what happened between Jason and me 20 years ago was very important. I wouldn't have missed knowing him for the world.
It must have been strange meeting again after all those years.
Only for half a minute. Then it was like, well, only yesterday.
I see, as though nothing had changed.
Exactly. But, except, of course, I was married to Paul now.
I understand Emily knows all about it.
Yes. Jason told her.
I I'm really amazed. You're all so, matter of fact about it.
It did happen, but it was a long time ago.
And you don't feel,
No, I don't, Caroline. Jason's a wonderful man. I'm glad I knew him. But we're both married now to someone else. And that is that.
As anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Miss Clairol shampoo formula conditions while it colors, makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
Darling, we really should discuss it.
Not today, Lynn.
You know I love River Run. It's a beautiful place to live in. But it's my parents' home, not ours.
I know.
Kurt, don't you want a place of our own where I can take care of you?
Of course I do, but right now it's not a very good idea.
I don't understand. Before we were married, you talked about the lovely home we would have. Well, what changed that?
Lynn, you know I have to concentrate on getting established.
But you said you had an income.
That may not go on much longer.
What happened?
Money does run out, you know.
You mean you want to stay on here at River Run to save money?
That thought has occurred to me.
Oh, no.
You just said you like it here.
You know how much I've wanted to be independent of Daddy.
But River Run belongs to Caroline.
That does not make any difference. Daddy pays for running the place. He always has.
I see.
He believes that people should pay their own way.
And you're saying I'm not?
No, I didn't say that. And I know we could stay on here for as long as we want.
Well, then what are you complaining about?
I did not get married so we could go on living at home.
It's only temporary.
All right. Then let's set a time, a definite time.
We can't do that. It depends on business when things are settled.
Well, when will that be?
I just said I don't know.
Oh, Kurt, please, I'm just trying to understand what's happening.
These things take time. You can't seem too anxious. If you start pushing, they know they can take advantage of you.
Well, who is they?
The Swiss manufacturers.
You said their representative was in Chicago.
Yes, she is.
Look, why don't you bring her out here?
Well, what would that accomplish?
I don't know. Maybe Daddy could help out in some way.
I want to handle this myself.
Oh, Kurt, couldn't we at least look at some apartments?
Sure, if you want to.
And Anne's apartment in town might be available. The sublet is almost up.
I don't think we could afford it.
How do you know?
If it's Anne's, it's probably expensive.
It won't cost to look at it. Oh, it's dirty.
Well, why aren't you two out like me, walking off the effects of the turkey?
Lynn's trying to talk me into taking an apartment in town.
Won't you hurry? This is a bad time to go apartment hunting.
Oh, Daddy, we want a place of our own.
You know Caroline's delighted to have you stay here. We don't often have guests in the cottage.
Making a move like that is important, and well, right now I'm too busy to take it on. And I can't expect Lynn to do it all.
Well, I don't know why not.
Oh, come on, Ben. He's quite right.
If you're going to be happy in your new home, it's something you both should decide on.
We are not buying a place, just renting an apartment.
We don't want to impose on you, Robert.
Well, not at all, Kurt. It's better to take on new responsibilities one at a time.
This is ridiculous. You're both ganging up on me.
Just because I agree with Kurt that his business comes first?
I am only trying to do what is best for both of us.
And what I want isn't considered as important.
Come on then, baby. It's not going to be a hardship to stay on here.
That is not it. I think we should be in a place of our own.
You're not being very reasonable.
I don't know what's going on here.
Then just take your time. As I said, there's no rush.
Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest-lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed. Four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
To Have and to Hold has been brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program. Mm-hmm.